Good morning, brothers and sisters. There is a well-known line in the Old Testament that says, the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. And to a certain extent, that's what Jesus is trying to teach in the gospel today. He ends the specific lesson with, you cannot serve both God and mammon. Of course, we know what he means by God, but mammon is an old word referring to the god of money, more or less. So you can't serve both of those gods. Either your God is the Lord and you love and serve him, or your God is money and you love and serve him. For most of us, even Jesus points out that there's this struggle between these two loves. We want to love God, and we want to love him most of all. But we still have this affection, this love for money. And he warns us, you cannot serve two masters. You'll either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. This is what I would say most good-intentioned people struggle with. Now, I assume to one extent or another you love God. I mean, you're here, it's Sunday morning. But I would bet, even like myself, sadly, there's still that love of money. And you say, well, Father Miller, I don't really have a great love for money. I mean, it's useful. I need it. And that's very true. But it's important to look into your heart and say, do I have a love for money? If it's just a tool, then you'll be willing to use that tool for whatever is best. So think about how you use money and how you don't use it. There's the obvious case of the hoarder, the one, the miser. He's just trying to get as much money as possible to build up his bank account. Because why? It makes him feel secure. Money is power. Money is security. And so the more you have, the better you feel. The problem is you never have enough. That's why you're a miser. You're always wanting more and more. And then you never spend it. And so what's the good of it? I mean, money is meant to be used. Even when you save it up for retirement, it's so that you can use it when you're retired. But you don't have to be a miser. Love of money can manifest in various ways. On what do you spend your money? I'm not saying you don't need to spend money on many things in life. But a desire for fancy cars, extravagant vacations. I'm not saying you don't need a car and a vacation. But when the amount of money you spend on it helps bring you greater satisfaction, clearly you have an inordinate love of money. And it could be more basic things, clothes, food. These are obvious necessities. But we have to look a little deeper at our intentions and our choices. I find the easiest way to determine if I have a love of money at all in my heart is if I'm a calculating person in regards to my relationships. Let me explain what I mean. If you at all serve the god of mammon, you have to be calculating. Money is all about the amount. How much is $1 worth? How much is $100? It's all about calculation. In order to love something like money, you must know mathematics. Because otherwise you won't know its value. Because value on the scale of money is calculated. That's a very important word here. Now, we all need to know math. It's very helpful because we have to use money. And so much of life is calculating. How many hours of sleep do I need to get enough rest? How much food do I need to eat to have enough energy? Calculation is necessary for living in this world. So you have to know how to calculate things. But when your calculations are used in your relationships, you've now taken it too far. This is what we all do, though. How much do I give to you? And I'm not just talking about money. Time, energy. How often will I forgive you? I'm calculating it. You have offended me 37 times in that specific way, and I've forgiven you every time, that's it, 37's my limit. That's a calculation. You have set a limit on love, on virtue, on compassion, on understanding. Whenever we do that in our relationships, this shows us that we have an inordinate love of mammon. If we are truly servants of God, we put no value on people. No value whatsoever. There's no price. They are of infinite value. It's uncalculable. Why? Because that's the very nature of our God. God is limitless. He's infinite goodness and love and knowledge and compassion and power. He's infinite. You can't calculate it. And if he creates us in his image and likeness, then we share in that incalculable worth. Money is calculable. It has a specific worth. When we start treating people like money, we love mammon. And we do this all the time. And it's no wonder that we struggle with peace in our hearts and our relationships. Now, children do this. You take any number of young children, and it's all about calculations. It's my turn to do this. You did it last time. I want to sit in the front seat. You sat in it last time. It's all calculations. That's not fair. It only gets worse as we get older, especially when you hit puberty. The reason is suddenly your desires and your longings and your dreams become even more complex. And so you begin to calculate now in relationships. What do I need to do to get her? What do I need to do to get him? What do I need to do to be more popular? To get out of trouble? It's all calculations. And sadly, for most human beings, we live the entirety of our lives calculating our relationships, and we are miserable. We're miserable because we're trying to put a value on something that is beyond value. People, relationships. That's ultimately what we saw last week in the prodigal son. The father realized that his sons were of infinite value to him, and he was willing to pay any price for them. He was willing to sacrifice his property and possessions, even his own dignity, to humble himself for the sake of his children. That's the way God loves us. God sees each of you with infinite value. And yet you don't see yourself that way. And it's not surprising you don't see others that way. Consider this, even those of you who are trying to be good Catholics, right, and trying to avoid mortal sin, and when you fall into some big sin, you know you need to go to confession. But what's the natural temptation we all fall into? You know, I just don't want to have to go and confess this sin. I'm probably going to do it again, and God's probably very upset with me. You know, I mean, he probably doesn't want to hear from me, at least not right now. Let me try to do a little better, try to improve a little bit, then I'll go to confession. That's a type of calculation. You have determined in your mind that because of your sin, regardless of what it is, it has tainted your value in God's eyes. You're thinking like a lover of mammon. You don't even know how much God loves you. I mean, he's willing to forgive us over and over and over again because there's no calculation in his mind. There's no amount of mercy that he's going to set for you. As long as you are willing to repent and try again, he is willing to forgive. This is such a common error, sadly, even that we Christians fall into, and we need to stop it. But it's not easy to overcome, so we really have to look deep into our hearts, into our thoughts, and ask ourselves, why don't I want to do this for that person? Now, yes, there are times in which you just don't have the energy or strength or means. That's understandable. But when you don't have the desire to do it, that's the problem. When I don't want to forgive you anymore, that's calculating. When I don't want to be patient with you, Because you irritate me. That's calculating. I have set a value on your worth in my life, and you have reached it. I'm not paying anymore. That's where I need to repent. I need to go to the Lord and say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Teach me how to love like you love. And the most important way, first and foremost, as Jesus says, is you must love your neighbor as yourself, which means if you are calculating with your own value, you will calculate the value of others. If your relationship with God is not solid, if you don't see how much he values you, if you don't recognize the fact that he is willing to pay any price for you, then you won't love anyone that way. You can't. So that's the first thing that needs to be fixed. Even that is not easy, and you must ask the Lord to teach you. Ask him. Say, Lord, show me my value in your eyes. Show me, Lord. Help me to understand, to see how much you love me. And when you see that, it will change you. And it will change the way you see others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.